case number 11017, Robert and Mary DeAndre, south of Route 1, Coastal Highway, southwest corner of Draper Drive and Venetian Drive, being lot B10 within Seabreeze Development. A variance from the front yard setback requirement.
Yes. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Robert DeAndre, 101 Draper Drive, Robert Costello.
Stay around. Can you state your name and address?
Mary DeAndrade, 101 Draper Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
We do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Ring Lardner. I'm a professional engineer and associate with the firm Davis, Bone, and Friedel, 23 North Wallace Street.
Sir, excuse me. Need to get you sworn in.
Okay.
Need to be sworn in.
That's all right. State your name and address for the record, please.
Ring Lardner, Davis, Bone, and Friedel, 23 North Wallace Street, Milford, Delaware, 19963.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
My apologies.
It's okay, sir.
Now you go.
Now we can go again.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm here representing the DeAndres on their request for a reduction in the front yard setback from 30 foot to 20 foot. The Seabreeze development was originally recorded on August 31st, 1954. On August 7, 1959, a deed transferred that land from the original subdividers to Seabreeze Incorporated, which is a Delaware corporation, subject to restrictive covenants outlined as a schedule attached to the deeds. The setbacks that were listed in those restrictions were for a 20-foot front yard setback from Draper Drive, a 20-foot side yard from Venetian Drive, and that's due to the fact it's a corner lot, 9-foot side yards, and a 9-foot rear yard. The zoning code that was adopted on September 14, 1982, established the setbacks for all lots previously to that date, with a 30-foot front yard from Draper Drive, a 15-foot side yard from Venetian, a 10-foot side yard from a neighboring lot, and a 10-foot rear yard from another neighboring lot. If it's okay with members of the commission, I'd like to submit the original deed restrictions that were recorded in 1959. Furthermore, those deed restrictions were restated again in 2003 with the same setbacks that were originally recorded back in 1959. The original structure was built by the previous owner in 1997. The DeAndres moved in later on after the house was built. They were not the original builders of that house and the owners. The addition of the house cannot be developed in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance and that it will negatively affect the existing structure. What it would require is it would require internal renovations to the existing house, such as window replacement or adjustments in order to meet building requirements to have the appropriate number of windows for the rooms that you're in. And it will also cause them to relocate a side entry door inside of their house. In addition, should the addition, which is a garage they proposed to build, be held true to the code, they would be within a 30-foot deed restriction from the canal that is currently listed in the deed restrictions that were imposed by the original developer back in 1959. And also that garage, should it be held to the 30-foot requirement, would partially affect the view of the adjacent homeowner, and that setback would be 30 foot back instead of the 20 foot, which would allow some additional view from the neighboring property. The variance would allow the proposed addition of the garage and is thus a reasonable use of the property. Most properties throughout the Seabreeze development have a two-car garage on the property. Some of those garages appear to be add-ons at some point after the initial construction of the house, the way things are situated onto lots. The difficulty was not created by the applicant and is a result of a set of restrictions that runs by with the land prior to the adoption of the current code. The Architectural Review Committee has reviewed and approved the plans for the addition, and if we would have, the commission would allow. That was based on, should this body allow the variance to occur at 20 foot, that's what the housing, the Architectural Review Committee has reviewed based on the deed restrictions and not expecting approval, but just should this body approve it, they reviewed and seen the plans, what it would look like. Mm-hmm. There are adjacent and neighboring properties that had developed the property to the setbacks listed. And the original deed restrictions, meaning that there are houses that are located 20 foot from the property line. There are other houses that are 30 foot. There are many houses throughout the neighborhood that are at the 20 foot yard setback. The variance would not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The variance would not substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of the adjacent property. And the variance would not be detrimental to the public welfare and is consistent with other properties throughout the Seabreeze development. Reduction of the front yard setback is a minimum amount necessary to improve the property for the addition to the existing house. As I stated earlier, the existing canal does not allow lesser impact of the front yard setback due to the recorded deed restrictions that have been in place against 1959. And the variance represents the least modification possible of the regulations at issue. And that concludes our presentation for the application, subject to any questions that you may have for myself or the property owners.
All right, sir. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards?
When was the, you said the structure was originally built in 1997?
Yes.
Is that correct? You had a permit at that time?
I'm sorry?
You had a permit at that time, is that correct?
We weren't the original owners.
You weren't the original owners. Okay, but you were approved.
We purchased the property.
Sir, do you want to come up here to the podium, please? Thank you.
Thank you. We purchased the property in 2002.
Okay, so if you purchased it and you mortgaged it, then you didn't have a problem because the banks wouldn't let you have it. Okay, so I could assume that that's...
So we purchased it in 2002, and then we had the architectural committee actually approve these plans you see back in 2003, and they were reapproved 2 months ago.
I've just been informed by the secretary that you do have a CO for that. So
thank you.
This is proposed, what you're requesting, right?
That is correct.
So the original structure, it meets all the setback requirements?
Right.
Right.
Correct.
Well, you have to take a look at the deck there. That was there also. What's that, under 4 feet?
It's allowed to encroach 5.
It's allowed to encroach 5, but it's under 4. It's not a second floor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 4-footer?
It's fine.
Okay. Not over 4 foot. There's no other way that you can do this without encroaching into, there's nothing in your drawings or anything in your plans where you can change this to meet the setback requirements? I mean, this is proposed, right?
Right. This is proposed. I think as Mr. Lauder had mentioned, if we went back another 10 feet, moving everything back, then we'd be encroaching on the other I think variance requirement would be we'd be closer to the canal, it'd be 10 feet. Our neighbor to the side of us certainly would prefer that this be approved. Again, if you look down our street on this picture,
sure.
All the homes on our street are 20-foot setback. We're the only ones that are 30. So there's like 11 homes that are all 20, and we're the only one 30. So if we went back, then that's going to be more of an impact on that neighbor and the other neighbors in the sense of how it impacts, you know, their day-to-day living within their home.
Let me take a look at that.
Excuse me, you were referring to a setback from the canal. That's the restrictions that you're referring to, that Mr. Lardner is referring to,
right?
Earlier?
Okay. Yeah, I think the question, if we moved everything back another 10 feet, then we would have to adhere to some different...
And by back, you mean...
Towards the canal.
Towards the canal, not to the rear of the property.
Exactly.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Isaacs, the averaging doesn't apply. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The averaging doesn't apply to corner lots.
You have a choice, right? They have a choice.
Well, you can average, but it's 300 feet each way, and they don't have that. They only have it that way
on
the one side, so
on the one
it
side.
Would not help.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Wharton?
No question.
Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Mills?
No.
And Mr. Calloway, I have
Mr.
no
Chairman,
question.
I
yes,
have
sir.
A quick question.
Sure.
I do notice that it appears as a corner lot on Draper Drive and also Venetian Drive.
Yes, sir.
What's the visibility from the road there as far as on that intersection? Will this impact that at all?
No, sir, not at all, because the garage, Mr. Sharp, would be on the non-road side of the property. Our request is for the to enable the addition to be built in this area here, not on the corner, so it won't affect the visibility of the corner or anything else.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Sharp?
No.
Thank you. Excuse me. Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Yes, sir.
One, two, okay. Any more? Keep your hands up. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the office also received two in favor letters.
Two letters in favor of. Okay, and two people here in favor of. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition?
I'm in opposition. I thought that's what you said.
No, first of all, those who's in favor.
Okay.
Okay, let me get that again. Ma'am, you were in favor back there. Thank you. Now, all those in, you're in opposition.
Yes, and we filed the letter.
Okay, would you like to come up front? Sir, would you like to come up front then and be sworn in? Okay. We'll check with the secretary.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
The Honorable Angelo M. Caputo. My address is 1 Draper Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Can you raise your left hand?
Sure.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Now, state your opposition, please.
Sure. Good evening. My name is the Honorable Angelo M. Caputo, retired administrative law judge, Montgomery County, Maryland. I'm the president of Seabreeze, which is a corporation with a federal ID number and a Delaware corporation. Okay? And we have 124 homes in our development, and the original covenant, well, I've lived there 12 years. The original covenants state 20-foot setback, but the counties are 30-foot, and we've never changed those covenants. But every time someone's come before you, you've requested you require 30. Okay, I disagree with the non-attorney who is the engineer. We do not have any houses that are 20-foot. In our letter, you have a copy of the letter that Stacy passed out to everybody?
The letter.
Yes. It says in there we would approve it if it's not any further than any other house. Okay. And be specific, our architectural review committee said, a motion was made and seconded not to approve the variance if the building goes beyond the other houses on the street. Okay. And the other houses are in the street are 20 foot. I had 30 feet, not 20 foot, okay? And we could see that. And we have, on that side of the street, 11 houses that are 30 feet. On the other side of the street, we have 10 houses in Seabreeze that are 30 feet. So we left it up to you by saying, as long as it's not in front of, and it cannot be 20, because none of the other houses are 20, okay? And that's our opposition.
Well, sir, can you? I'm a little.
We have a picture. Can we see the picture?
Okay. We've had the houses measured. I don't think our attorney is here, but
Mr. Pugues.
I'm on the block and I'm third. Okay.
Okay.
Where's their house?
Right there on the corner.
Right there on the corner.
Okay. I'm at the far corner there, and these are all 30, including mine.
Right.
Okay. I went with our attorney, Brandon Jones, and he measured them with me from the bay to my house. They're all 29 and 30, and you never approved the 20. Yeah. That's not an actual map.
Sir, you said you sent a letter in?
Yes, that's it. No.
This is it.
It says got where the board's approved it.
Yeah, I want to.
He approved it.
I want to.
This is the letter we sent to Tracy.
All right, let me. I have two letters in front of me. One, July 30th.
30.
Which we
okay.
Received.
Which we received. You had no problem with that, ma'am.
Yes. In our letter of July 30th, it says...
You're in opposition, right? On that July 30th, you're in opposition. Then you came back May 9th.
May was...
He's in 30.
May, the board or the HOA approved
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
they
approved it
then.
We
get a letter July 30th
that you disapprove.
We're saying it cannot be any further closer to the curb than any of the other houses. And that map shows they're all 30. I know I looked at them.
Yeah, look at these two letters.
Hold on.
Wait a minute, let's try to get one of them here. Wait a minute, sir.
Yeah, if we can have one at a time and have you speak with the mic.
Yeah, well, appreciate that, sir. You want to get back? Yeah, let's.
I'll speak to the mic. The letter of July 30th was what we just had a vote, and it's there. Earlier, the architectural committee was told it would, I don't have a copy of that letter. It was not to you. It was to the occupants of the house that they would approve it. They did not put in that letter to them, which is in your letter, that it has to be on the same 30 feet or 29 feet of every other house. And I know what mine is, one Draper Drive. I know what our attorney's is. It's down the street from me, and we have one straight line across. Those pictures are at 30, not 20.
So this letter I got dated May the 9th, 2012. Then
not to you. Because
yeah, but still, but I mean, that letter is not correct then.
No.
It states the board has reviewed the plans for the addition to your property at 101 Draper Drive and has approved the plans. So what board are we talking about now?
Okay.
No, wait. No, answer me that first. What board? Okay. No, wait. What board am I talking about?
You're talking about the Architectural Review Committee that sent both letters.
So that's considered a board? Or are you the board?
No, that's the Architectural Review Committee. He used the word board.
Well, who's the board then?
There's no board. It's a committee.
All right, so there's no board.
And they gave him the letter, and then we reviewed the plans, the whole board of 9 directors.
Approved it.
And we disapproved it in this letter.
Well, wait a minute, then. Well, what board you on then?
Okay.
Where are you coming from?
Architectural Review is 3 people.
Okay.
Okay. And he wrote that letter. Is it signed by Mr. Harrington?
Yep, Michael Harrington Sr.
Okay, and it went to the property owner?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Then it came to our board of 7 directors.
Okay, you're president of that.
That's right. And they report to us, and we voted a week ago. It's approved, providing it is not any further closer to Draper Drive than any house on there, every house up and down the street. Okay? And so they mailed a copy to you, and I faxed a copy after speaking to your office. So we're approving it as long as he doesn't go any further than any other one else. Now, if he says they're all 20, they're not. When he goes to put his house up there, you could see it. That picture is not correct. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I measured it with our attorney, who also lives on the street. They're basically 28, 29, 30, and every time someone comes before you, you may have given them 1 or 2 feet for a little porch on the front so they could put a huge column in. It looks like they have a porch, but you've never, never, never given anyone anything more than 1 or 2 feet. There are no houses that I know of the 114, and I've lived there 12 years. I've been, okay? And mm-hmm. I've in the Rehoboth area 37 years.
Okay.
You have never approved 20 feet. And all we're saying in this letter, whether it's a foot or two off, as long as they're not in front of any house next to them, from my house to the bay.
And you're saying these pictures are inaccurate or incorrect.
But that's just the photo. It's that all those houses are 30. The picture's great, but it's 30, not 20. I know.
Okay. No, I'm just...
Because...
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Melchior,
so we're saying it's approved as long as it doesn't go in front of any other house. So that picture is great, but the dimensions are off. I know mine's 30. Our attorney from the other end, for me, 10 houses up from me, it's 30, and we could see from one to the other. And I think your rules overtake ours, because ours are real old, and we have never changed it from 20 to 30, because we've always relied on you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have quite a few cases. Yes, sir, your picture is up.
I have a question for Mr. Ray.
I'll step aside.
Please, just for a moment. Then you no, sit right up there, and then you...
Yes, Mr. Mills.
Mr. Ring, the line that is here on the photograph, what does that line represent? 20 feet from the property line?
That represents the property line itself.
Oh, the
as
property
surveyed.
Line itself. Okay.
As you can see, the property next to the DeAndrades, which would be lot B10, is 20 foot from the line. You can see it from the side picture, top right. I took that along using the adjacent owners from the house as the on the site. You can see a little deck in the front. Their request does not go past that deck, so their front of the house does not go past any front of the house that's adjacent to them on their street. And I know there are some lots that are 20 foot from the property line.
See, Greaves requires 20 feet, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the county requires 30, and we supersede anybody.
We've always been 30, and we have never changed.
All right, just so we have that straight, that you all understand that.
You've never approved the 20.
Mr. Chairman, the other members of the board, for the record, if this line is the property line, and this isn't an accurate measurement, but most vehicles are about 20 feet, and it would appear that that house is 20 feet from the property line. So, I don't know, maybe we can...
Down that way.
Yeah.
Coming down this way.
Coming down here, this vehicle here, it's about the same distance or length as the, between the line and the house.
Okay.
Most vehicles are about 20 feet.
That's correct.
Okay, sir, may I?
Sure.
If you go down to the end of the block, this may have five houses, and there were five there, that's 10. There's a few more to the bay. I was standing at the one at the bay where the attorney lives, our attorney, and he looked right on up to mine, which is at the other end. And they're all about the same, I'd say 28, 29, 30, because you may have given, or they may have been there earlier. So I'm saying his right now is probably 33.
If this is the property line, it would be...
He's in from the rest of us.
Okay. All I'm saying is, if this is the property line...
I don't know what that is, but...
But he's saying this is the property line, this line.
Well, he said there were a lot of houses at 20 feet, and he's not telling the truth. I know that. Okay. And we'll get a letter from our attorney or us.
Okay.
Okay.
So long as you stick to the...
No.
We gave permission on the new letter that we gave to Stacy.
Right.
That says, as long as he doesn't exceed any house.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the best we could do for him, and he can go ahead as long as he doesn't exceed it. Now, if it's a 3-foot garage, it's not going to make it.
All right, okay.
So is your association overrules the county? I mean, for what you want in there?
No, we've never changed ours. We've always accepted yours for every new house going up in Seabreeze.
Okay.
Okay, we've never had a problem with the county because 30 is there. It's so difficult for 114 houses to change covenants. We had a real simple one 5 years ago where we adopted a county conference on group rentals, and we just about got it passed. The people would not understand changing this, and our attorney says, don't change, leave it at 20. And what we'll do is what we're doing for these folks. They can build it as long as it doesn't exceed any house out there.
Okay.
We're with your rules.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Lardner.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp. The property line, when I look at the picture here, the property line looks like it's off the road 15, 20 feet. I can't tell exactly which.
It's about 18 feet when I measured it.
From the road to the actual property line.
Yes, sir.
So there's a portion of these folks' yard that is actually community owned or part of the roadway in some way.
Correct. I can't remember if they're just owned by, if they're private roads or pub, I don't know. But yes, it's owned by somebody, whether it's the maintenance corporation or DOT or whomever has the maintenance responsibility of the road.
Okay.
And it's 6 feet.
Sir, you have to come up.
It's 6 feet the county, the state owns. Okay, it's where the utility poles are. And, okay, we know that because they put signs up there that say no parking. If you do a troop, we'll give you a ticket. So the grass is not the property line from my house to his house. It's 6 feet in from
when you
first 6 feet of grass to the utility pole is owned by the state of Delaware.
When you did your measurement, did you do it from the edge of the roadway, or did you do it from that 6 feet in?
Which way did you measure it?
Because you were saying that the houses that you looked at were all 20 feet, and I'm just trying to make sure what's 20 feet 30, from.
30
feet. I'm sorry.
So how did you measure it?
Again, I don't know that. I can go measure my house and send another letter in a day or two, but I know what the county says. They put signs up next to the utility poles. No parking May to September, okay? And if they find you parking on the grass.
So we got a discrepancy of 6 feet then, you're saying?
I don't know.
You just said 6 feet.
Yeah, I said it's 6 feet. Is that if the 6 feet is part of the 30 feet, I'll measure mine right out, and get something, or from a professional, saying from the front of the house where they measure to. I'm not prepared to answer that.
Okay.
But I know where, it says 30 feet. So what we've done in our letter, he cannot go any further closer to the street than any of his neighbors. And we're all the same. I'll say 30 feet. But I will get something from a professional.
Yeah, I'm getting confused. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Mr. Sharp, if I could finish answering that question. We surveyed the front of the houses of a couple lots that was adjacent, and particularly lot B10. Their house is 20 foot from the property line. We surveyed the front of their house to help explain and justify the application. We had field surveyed that based on the property corners that were found, and it's 20 foot from the property line to it.
Which lot is that?
B10. It should be the Bennett property, Mr. Hudson.
B10.
Which is next door.
Behind this property, correct?
It'd be the one, it'd be
B10
this
one is
here.
The applicant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
B10 is the applicant, correct?
B23.
B23, you mean, next door?
G4.
You surveyed?
No, we're asking.
It's
you
this should be B11, if I remember correctly. That should be the
B11.
Okay,
what about B23 behind it, where you're?
We didn't measure that one because they were on the other side. I was more looking at the front of the house as to how you would see it along Draper Drive.
You say you had that survey done?
Yes.
Do you have it with you?
I do not have it with me.
B11 is on Venetian.
Whichever lot number it's been, I don't know the lot number.
Okay.
Mr. Mills, to be honest with you.
Here you go.
Probably B23.
Here you go. You want to take a look?
There you go. If you got that one.
Yeah.
Here's this one, so it's, here's Draper, so it's, is it that one?
It's next one.
B23.
B23. There you go. So B23 is 20 feet from the property line. Okay.
And you said you had the survey?
When we did the survey for the DeAndre's property, we know where the property corners are. We shot 2 points along their building frontage to have an idea of where it is. So I didn't survey the other point on B23, but from the common boundary line shared between the DeAndre's and the Bennett,
you shot.
It's 20 foot from that point using perpendicular lines accordingly.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. There being no further questions.
So my analogy was correct.
Okay, sir. You got one?
Yeah, so just one more comment just to kind of help clarify. So let's say that the bay is on that side and this is our property over here, and that line of sight going from our property on the corner all the way out to the bay, that line of sight, if you're looking at that picture, west for the variance, we would be identically even with every house on the front.
Mr. Green just confirmed that.
Over. So if you look straight ahead, not as far back on the other side of Venetian, but from our property here all the way across
to the bay,
the line of sight would be perfect as the surveyors did the survey.
Okay,
I
sir.
Think the picture kind of reflects that. And so respectively to the, you know, to the sea breeze, we would be exactly that. We really took a lot of detail to make sure we adhered specifically to the sea breeze covenants, which we are doing, and obviously got the survey to make sure that we adhered specifically, and then, of course, understood that there was a Sussex County code that we had to abide by, too. So the adherence would be exactly to where the other houses are if we took that line of sight, you know, and as Mr. Lardner, I think, had done the survey. He says it's 20 feet. Whichever, if it's 19.8 or 20.1, whatever it is, we're exactly with everybody else. And I think the picture kind of really reflects that. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. That's it. Okay. There being no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we take case number 11,017 under advisement.
Second that motion?
Second that motion.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we take case number 11,017 under advisement. All those in favor? Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And Mr. Callaway? Aye. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11017 has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you,
Johnson. Okay? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Case number 11018, Margaret R. Taylor, southeast, a corner of Vice State Boulevard, Route 13A and Horsey Road. A variance, actually the agenda says a variance for a determination of...
Gentlemen, please take it outside.
Would you please, gentlemen, could you please go outside?
The agenda says a variance for a determination of existence of use, and it should just say determination of existence of use, not a variance. Okay?
Right. I was just... Good, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the little outburst we had there. Now, Mr. Sergovic, please.
Yes, I'm John Sergovic. I'm an attorney in Georgetown. I work with Shannon Carmine and some other folks. We're representing Margaret Taylor tonight, and I'm glad that the secretary corrected it. We're seeking a determination of the existence of a non-conforming use. The property located on Bi-State Boulevard has historically been used for multifamily uses. And prior to the multifamily uses, it was a gasoline station in 1947. It was a Tucker car dealership that was which didn't last very long. I have a number of witnesses here, so this presentation is going to be a little bit longer than the normal variance application because of the economic importance to my client, and the issue is somewhat different. To try to expedite the timing.
Try to combine my evidence in a booklet format.
You got what? You got six? Got enough?
If it's not, I've got one more. And just to outline what we're here to do and give the board a little prior history. In 2010, my clients received a notice of violation of having a multifamily property in an AR1 district. And that's at tab 15 of my booklet. It's the last document. And what the Donna Mulberry, who gave the notice of violation, suggested that my client apply to county council for conditional use. And my client did that. And what happened was, at the planning and zoning level and at the county council level in 2012, both the commission and the council recommended my clients come to the board for determination of the non-conforming use. My clients didn't do that between the two hearings. And the county council denied the conditional use. And that's it. The minutes of that are tab 15. But important to that, and there's a comment from Mr. Phillips, and this is tab number 13. And it's on the top of it, it says page 5. Mr. Phillips asked that the county code enforcement officers to be sensitive in regards to this issue, that there are people living on the site, and that he does not want to see anyone evicted, and that the county needs to work very closely with the owner to proceed through the Board of Adjustments. So after receiving that sage advice from Mr. Phillips, my client, Mrs. Taylor, or Ms. Taylor, rather, contacted our office, and we've made this application for determination. I'm not going to point to any other of the documents right now. I'll start calling my witnesses, and I'll just show you, I'll outline how I'm going to do this. I have a couple of live witnesses who can testify to historic use other than Mrs. Taylor. I've got some documents in affidavit form that relate to prior uses, and I'm going to refer to those in the record after that set of witnesses. I also have some of the current tenants here tonight to testify as to the fact that this is these people's homes, and but for this home, these people would not have a home. And then I also have Mrs. Taylor, or Ms. Taylor, rather, testify about how she acquired the property and what kind of money she invested in the property. And I also have Melvin Green, who did the actual work making the apartments what they are today. So with that said, I'll call my first witness, who is Richard Shockley, and I'll ask him to come up and be sworn.
State your name and address for the record, please.
It's Richard J. Shockley. I live at 306 4th Street, Laurel, Seaford, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Shockley, did you at one time reside in these apartments? And I'm going to, I think historically they've been referred to as the Parsons apartments. Is that right?
Yes.
And when did you reside in one of these apartments?
It was 1977.
And how long did you reside there?
About 8 months.
And what? Who else? Were other people living in those apartments and in the trailer at that time?
Yes.
Who lived there, and if you can remember?
The only one I remember there was Cricket Carson. It was a guy fixed an apartment up top. He was living there. I don't know his name. Then it was a guy on the side of me with the brick house. He was living there. And then the other one, it was one, two, three, four, I think it was five families living there when I was living there.
And can you tell us anything about the use of the property?
Well, the use of the property right now is very nice. Back then, it was probable, you know what I'm saying? Livable.
As far as the current condition, though, is it a vast improvement over what existed in the past?
Yes, it is. I would not, if I was living there now, I would not move out of there. It's in very good shape now. Back then it was, like say, medium.
Any questions, Mr. Shockley? So we can keep moving this along. Can I next call Mr. Mills? It will be sworn.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Danny Bayless, 10500 Horsey Road, Laurel, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Mills, do you currently reside on this property?
Yes, I do.
And what unit do you reside in?
I live in the trailer.
And how long have you lived in the trailer?
Since 2001.
And in 2001, how many units were rented or occupied?
There were the trailer and two units in the White House.
And with respect to the current condition of the property compared to what it was like back in 2001,
it's about 150% better.
With that said, unless you have any questions for Mr. Mills.
None that I know of. Thank you.
If the board will.
I had a quick one. I didn't catch. What was the time of your residence there?
Since 2001.
Okay.
If I can ask the board to refer to some affidavit testimony, and just for the purpose of the record, the tabbed exhibits, tab one is the current corrective deed, which was recorded on February 1, 2006, whereby Ms. Taylor obtained title of the property. Tab number two are historic tax records. You see one of the identified buildings by the tax assessment records, and I think those were done back in the early 70s. They noted the age of the one building is 34 years, two apartments, and the age of the other building, 55 years, would be three apartments. There's also a trailer that is not an issue as determined by at the county council proceeding, a statement by Mr. Lank, which is in tab number 13. Also, in the booklet, there's a survey of the property at tab number three, and that survey identifies the existing property and the property use. You have a one story, which is the brick building that contains two units. The apartment says one story for the second building along by State Boulevard. In fact, that's a two-story building. It was the previous gasoline station. And Ms. Taylor, who happens to know the property, actually worked as a waitress back when she was 16 in that gasoline station / snack bar. That building is actually a two-story building. There are two rental units on the ground floor and one on the second floor. In addition to that, we have the mobile home that is not an issue as determined at the county council proceedings. Turning to tab number four, you'll have an affidavit of Donnie Hawkins, which is self-explanatory. Gives an affidavit that all these apartments were called Disharoon apartments when I lived there in the 1960s. And he also identifies how the gas pumps that were in front, and he also talks about the previous gas pumps that were in the front, and that was eventually the unit that was used as a cafe, and the actual owners of the property lived in the rear of that particular unit. With that said, tab five is a statement from a grandson of the owners who used to run the Disharoon Service Center, and he verifies the information about the Tucker car dealership and conversion of those to apartments after the Tucker automobile kind of died a death right after it was brought about. In tab number six, there are some affidavits regarding people who've known the property historically, and again, all of those various statements identify having the properties operated as a multifamily for a very long time. One goes back to 1933. It was operated that way in the 50s. And I have the last affidavit from one of the Disharoons that said the property was in existence back in 1939. So we also have a statement of a from Evelyn Faircloth, states that her mother-in-law lived there 1956 through 1960. And then we also have an affidavit again from Mr. Shockley, who we've already heard, or from Mr. Shockley's ex-wife, verifying the fact that they lived there in the early to mid-70s, when Mr. Shockley corrected that to be 77 to 78 time frame. With that said, I'd like to call the various tenants who currently live there. They also have affidavits. Some of them are affidavit statements that the board can refer to as part of the record, which starts at tab number 7. But I also wanted to have some of the existing tenants appear before the board and testify as to what their living arrangements currently are and the benefits they have from living here. I first called Jennifer Bollinger. Did I get that right?
State your name and address for the record, please.
Jennifer Bollinger, 32715 By State Boulevard, Apartment C, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Although Jennifer has a written statement, which is the first statement at tab 7, I thought it'd be, she could just tell you live what this property means to her.
This property actually means a lot to me. I'm 28. I have a 7-year-old son. I've been on my own since I was 16, doing it by myself. I have lived in 63 different places, and unfortunately it means my son's moved a lot also. I first moved in these apartments in 2006 and stayed until 2008, and I moved into another rental property that Miss Margaret had that was larger and wasn't able to do it by myself. So, again, moved out, moved around a whole bunch. Then in October of this year, got back up with Miss Margaret, let her know that my son and I really didn't have a place to go. I couldn't afford anything. I was tired of moving. I needed to stay put. And she made me a couple rules that I had to follow, which I have followed. If I move out of these apartments, I don't know where my son and I are going to go. I really don't. It's comfortable. I can let my son go in the backyard, and I don't have to worry about, Laurel's not a very good area. And the type of places that I would have to live in there would be very scary for me and my son. So it's nice having, like I said, letting my son go out in the backyard, knowing that we have a place to stay every night, that I'm not going to be kicked out as long as I follow by her rules. And she's very much there for us.
With respect to the condition of the property, both the wastewater disposal system and upkeep of the property on the exterior, how is that done?
It's very nice. We have brand new floors. We got brand new painting, light fixtures. I don't have a plow and flush in the toilet. Sinks go fine. And we have, me and the other girls, we have small children in there still. We don't have problems with their, toilets. About 6 weeks, they have the wastewater management come to our property, clear our septics and all that kind of stuff. So we've never had any of that problem. And like I said, it's very nice. Some new carpets, new light fixtures, everything. And we don't have to do anything. They even come and take our trash to the yard for us. They cut everything. We just got to live there and abide by the rules. They have security. I think there's 8 security cameras on the property, so they are able to monitor us, I think, actually from their bed, from their TV. So it's a very nice place. It's safe. And again, if I have to go out, I'm not sure where I'll go, and I don't want to go to some of the other developments that are there in that town.
Okay. Any questions of any board members, Jennifer? I'll call my next witness, is Gary Hastings, but while he's stepping up, I didn't sub-tab these, but after Jennifer's statement, you have a written statement from Mr. Dorman, who could not be here because he's employed and it's a notarized statement testifying to his use and involvement with the property and the fact that this provides a home for him, and in the absence of this home, he may not have a readily available home.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Gary Hastings.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Yeah, what's your address?
32715 Bi-State Boulevard, Apartment E, Laurel, Delaware.
Thank you.
Mr. Hastings, you reside in Apartment E, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you resided in that
property? 2 years.
With respect to that apartment, has that been inspected and approved under the Section 8 housing program?
Yes, it has, and I'm due for another inspection in 2 days, and there's no doubt in my mind that it will pass with flying colors.
Okay. And is this a comfortable place for you to live?
Very comfortable. As you can see, I'm handicapped. It's a ground floor apartment where I live. And it's very nice. It's got all hardwood pergo floors. It's drywall. It's very nice.
Mr. Hastings, did you have relatives that lived in the same property in the past?
I did. My nephew lived there approximately 12 to 15 years. I'm not exactly sure what date it was, but my nephew, Ronnie Hastings, lived there.
Yeah, and did you visit him while he was there?
No, I took him home a couple times.
Okay. And were other units occupied when your nephew was there?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
There is, since I've been there, there's been occupation there, you know, occupied.
All right. And if there's no questions of Mr. Hastings, can I call Lindsay Bounds, please?
Thank you, sir. For the record, please.
Lindsay Bounds, 32715 Bi-State Boulevard, Apartment D, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And for documentary evidence, Ms. Bounds has a written statement, which is the last statement in tab number 7, which would be immediately, the two or three pages immediately before tab 8. Lindsay, can you tell us about your living there and the sense of home this apartment gives you?
Yes, I'm 20 years old. I've had moved place to place since I was 16 years old after my mom passed away. I have two little kids. We've been from my fiance's parents' house to my grandparents' house back and forth, had nowhere to live with my two small kids, and finally in May I'd met Jenny at work, and she told us she had apartments available, and finally I have a home where my kids can stay. It's clean, it's nice, there's never any trouble, anything going on around there, everyone's quiet, it's all brand new and everything's wonderful, and if without it I would probably be on the street with my kids.
Do you know whether the units you're currently living in has been approved under the Section 8 housing program?
The apartment I'm living in is approved under that, but I don't get that.
You just haven't applied yet?
Yeah.
But the apartment meets the standard?
Yes.
Okay. I have no, does the board have any questions of Lindsay? Next, I'd like to introduce something that was not in the booklet, but it's some statements from neighbors. I think I made 8 copies. I apologize for the legal size of the statement, and I was trying to figure out how to get little pieces of paper.
So you did it yourself.
And the only way to do it was to come to the size.
Okay.
So there's one group of statements from Felix
been in existence and causes no problems because living arrangement. And finally, we have another statement from a neighbor by the name of last name was Adkins. And he states that he's been living at 37 or 32.
With that said, I'd like to call Margaret Taylor, my client.
You state your name and address to the record, please.
Margaret Taylor, 32790 by State Boulevard, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'll try my darndest.
All right. Thank you.
Margaret, you bought this property in 2006, is that correct?
Yes.
Had you been familiar with the property since the time you were 16?
Yes.
And we're not going to give us our ages or anything like that, but
no,
is that...
Don't tell that.
Does that go back to the late 50s or early 60s?
Yes, I was 16 years old, and I was working down there to the... it had two tables with two chairs on each side, and it had a bar across the front when I was working there. And the man and woman used to serve in that one little spot. They used to serve like coffee and donuts and hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. And they were sleeping in the back in that one part, and they were had the bathroom in there, and they had the little kitchen part, and then they had the place out there in front where they had the bar.
Okay. And looking at the survey, which is tab 3, I believe. And that's what it says is a one-story building, but over top of it says two apartments first floor, one apartment third floor. Is that the building you're talking about that would have had the canopy over the front that at one time was a gas station?
Yes.
And so the owners of that property lived in one of the apartments on the ground floor.
Yes.
Rented an apartment on the ground floor.
And rented the upstairs.
Rented an apartment upstairs.
I remember the guy that lived up there. His name was Jack Chambers. Everybody's deceased now that lived in those apartments back then.
And back in the late 50s, early 60s, was the brick building, which would be located to the north of the white building, was that a brick building arranged as such that it was two apartments?
Yes, they used to have little things there for they to park their cars. There was little poles there that they parked their cars in between. There was four poles, I remember, and they had people living in those two.
Okay. At that time, back in the late 50s, early 60s, had the mobile home been placed at that time?
Yes, there was a mobile home back there.
And you've lived in this neighborhood all your life?
All my life. I've never lived in this house.
And have you?
I've visited, but not lived.
And are you familiar with other people that lived on in this property over the course of history, of your history, that is?
Oh, yes. I remember Jack Chambers. He lived up there in that top apartment there. I remember... Helen Hitchens, that was Joe Furl's mother, and she lived in the brick building on that one side there, and I remember Cricket, she lived in the trailer. I remember, let me think, Richard, of course, lived there.
As far as you know, was this property pretty much occupied on and off since the day that...
On and off that I can remember, as far back as I can remember. I remember people living in there.
Now, when you took title to this property, were you represented by an attorney?
Yes, Mr. Burrell.
And he let you go through with the settlement?
Yes.
Was there any question raised about the use of the property?
No, he just said that I knew that it was being used as apartments, and that was all that was said.
All right. Financially, how did you go about arranging to buy this property and upgrade it?
I had my house paid for. My house was paid for at the time. I borrowed the money on my house to pay for this piece of property and to fix it up. That's how I got the money. I've always been a waitress all my life, so I had bought my house with waitress pay.
And so this was kind of your retirement investment?
Yes, that would have been my retirement.
And I take it that if you don't have rents coming in from these properties, you are...
I'm going to lose my house because I had to borrow so much from it.
I have no further questions, Ms. Taylor.
Okay. Thank you all.
And I just have one last witness. I know I'm going over what a normal time limit, but it'll be this quick. Can I call Melvin Green, please?
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Melvin Green, 327905 State Boulevard, Delaware, 19956.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Melvin, real briefly, what's your familiarity with this property? What's your familiarity? What do you know about this property?
I don't know too much about it. I don't know that I did upkeep to it. I don't maintenance work to it. I put it all back together.
And after, you have a friendship relationship with Ms. Taylor, is that correct?
Yes, my fiancée.
And you did all the work upgrading the apartments?
Yes.
And what did you do to upgrade the apartments?
I put all new drywall in there, floors, I did some roofing out there, electrical wire, I had all inspected, all new appliances in and stuff like that.
And after Margaret Taylor took title, how long before the units were fully occupied?
Oh, about 4 months.
And did you have any issues from 2006 up until 2010?
No issues.
That concludes my formal presentation. Just to guide the board, there's not a great deal of guidance from the ordinance that governs nonconforming uses, but section 115202, it says determination of existence, whether a nonconforming use exists shall be a question of fact and shall be decided by the Board of Adjustments after public notice and hearing and in accordance with the rules of the board. I think we clearly established that this kind of multifamily use goes back to probably the early 60s, well before the adoption of the code, and the use appears to have been fairly consistent throughout the years. Thank you. Unless you have any questions.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Mills?
Yes. The page 4 of the... assume minutes from County Council and Planning Zoning. At the bottom it says, of course the applicant didn't follow up with the board and their wastewater concerns, setback from the road, and unanswered issues. What were those unanswered issues, do you know?
I think mostly issues why the county, I did not represent the applicants before the county. But I think most of the unanswered questions were how long has this historic use been taking, which is why they were referring or requesting reference to the Board of Adjustments. And I think the only closeness to the the closeness to the road at tab number 10 of the exhibit booklet, there are some black and white photographs of the property, and we refer to the brick building and the white building. The closeness to the road appears to be, although the photograph's not particularly clear, it's the canopy for the old gasoline station that was never removed. Okay, that would be the only closeness to the road issue that I can tell.
And am I correct? The testimony that we heard from the applicant was that she was a waitress in the
late 50s, early 60s,
and that's when there were all these people living there. Okay.
And then there's also other affidavit testimony about continuous use,
right,
kind of on and off from the 60s.
Right. But yeah, I just wanted to establish that was
right
prior to the ordinance being established.
Right.
That was prior to.
Yeah, the ordinance was adopted. I think the first interim ordinance was like 68, if I'm not correct.
Right.
I think that was the first interim ordinance. And
her recollections were from her teen years in the.
When she was 16 years old, and although I don't want to give the age, I would think that goes back to 1958.
Prior to that.
1958.
Prior to that.
1958.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're better going further now.
Thank you.
Or thereabouts.
I understand. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hudson?
Not at this time.
Okay, Mr. Barbie?
No.
Mr. Becker?
No.
No, I have that. Mr. Chairman, sorry. I did have one.
Okay.
Just a brief one, Mr. Sergovic. I know we have a lot here to digest. Was there ever a period of time that is in here, or that your client could testify to, of a discontinued use, or was this continuous from?
As best we can tell, it was a continuous use, but it may have been somewhat intermittent. I think one of the witnesses testified that the apartments may have only been rented during the summer, okay, as opposed to year round. So as far as, I don't think there's any evidence of an absolute abandonment for two continuous years.
Thank you. Any further questions, Mr.?
No.
Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons?
Let's see, termination issues now. Still run it the same.
Yeah. If there's someone from the public here that wants to in favor or oppose.
Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Please hold your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? 1, 2, 3. Okay, would you all like to come forward then? And those that would like to come up and speak in opposition, please come forward at this time to be sworn in. Again, all those that wish to speak in opposition, please come forward at this time and be sworn in. Thank you.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Amy Gambrell, 32704 By State Boulevard, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
Okay. We'll swear you all in at the same time. If that's got a couple of you here.
Fine.
My name is Keith Messick. I live at 32689 By State Boulevard, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
All right.
Janet Niblett, Littleton, formerly of 32682 By State Boulevard.
Will you raise your left hand? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know which one of you is electing to go first, but step up to the podium, please.
I have lived at 32704 By State Boulevard since 1989. That is the residence that is directly across the street. My driveway, when I pull out, both apartments are there. Until Ms. Taylor purchased this property, there had been no one living there at all, other than the trailer in the back, which is not in dispute. If they did live there, I never saw them in 22 years. Now, when Ms. Taylor purchased the property and put the apartments in, the one building, the brick building, towards Laurel on the north side, they completely gutted the inside. There was no apartment there. They even took the roof off the building. As far as the other two, as I said, I had never seen anybody come or go in or out at all, other than the trailer in the back. One of the things that bothers me and has bothered me since day one is, and could probably be one of the unanswered questions, there are oil tanks buried on that property.
That's not for us to...
Yeah, ma'am, that's not for us to...
I understand that, but this is part of my concern. Okay. Also, road frontage, or I don't know what you guys call it exactly.
Again.
The only question here is for us to determine if it has been used without a break of 2 years.
Well, I can tell you from 1989 to 2006 when she purchased it, no one came or went out of those buildings at all.
Okay. So, that's what we need to hear then, ma'am.
Okay. That's all I can say about it.
Thank you. Next.
I've also lived just north of the apartments since 1995, and I do not recall anyone other than the trailer behind using the apartments for, you know, living facilities.
Okay.
That's from 1995.
Right, sir. Thank you. Ma'am?
I purchased my home at 32682, catty corner to the property in question. Purchased it in 2000, was not aware of any comings or goings. Like Amy, I recall the building being abandoned, being not in use for anything, for not a commercial business, for not living habit, for being inhabited.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mrs. Taylor.
Yes.
Ms. Taylor, when you purchased the property, were there people living in all of those apartments?
Tom, I don't know what his last name was living in the one.
Which one?
That was the one that was beside the store.
In the brick building?
In the wooden building.
In the wooden building. So was anyone living in the brick building when you purchased it?
Let me see. There was a colored man.
Okay.
That was living in the, as far as I know, he was living in the brick building.
And we just heard these folks say that.
I do know.
Excuse me.
Before I had bought it, I do know that there had been people living in there because I remember Jack Chambers living in there.
Okay.
I remember Helen Hitches
living
in there.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. When the brick building, it was renovated?
Yes.
And the roof was taken off?
The roof was not completely took off.
Okay, but it was, okay, it was the building
was
gutted?
There was a leak in the building.
During the period of renovation, how long did that take?
I say it took 4 months to renovate it. But see, there was two of the apartments was already clean, you know, already ready to go.
Right. Where did people relocate? No one lived there while it was being renovated, is that correct?
No one lived there while it was being renovated in the 4 months, no.
See.
But they could have lived in that one. They could have very easily lived in that one because all we had to do was go in there and paint it.
So when you purchased it, all the apartments were being rented, is that correct?
Since I purchased it, yes.
No, when you purchased it, all the apartments were being rented?
When I did purchase it, no, they were not rented, not all of them.
Okay.
I think there was two.
Two. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions?
I want to ask a question. Ma'am, how long was the roof off? If you said
step up to the podium, please.
Step up to the podium, please.
It's okay.
I would say that I would go along with her. It was probably a period of 4 to 6 months, somewhere in there. But there was nothing in the brick building. The windows were out of the building. There was nothing there when they gutted the building. I looked out on it every day. I mean,
so prior to them renovating, the windows were out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long had that been?
How long since they did this?
Prior to the renovation, about how long were there no windows in the building?
Oh, no, there were windows, but I'm saying they took everything out and gutted the whole building, not just one side of it.
Right.
It was the whole building.
It took about 4 months to renovate?
4 to 6 months, yes,
okay.
I would say.
How about the other one, too? Did they got that one, too?
The other one, no, I don't know what they did in that one. I mean, I think they put new doors on it, okay. And they put steps. There were steps existing upstairs to the upstairs.
So you never saw anybody living there before?
Never.
Since 1989?
Yes, that's when I purchased my property. Till they purchased it in 2006.
Well, somebody's got some dreams here, I guess. 1989, and these people are saying with affidavits that there's been
Absolutely.
People in there.
No.
All right. I just want to hear the pros and cons here.
I come out of my driveway every morning directly looking at that building. There was never a soul coming in and out of any of those apartments.
You never saw
until them. She purchased it and moved people in. No.
How about the trailer?
Yes, the trailer has always had someone there. Yes.
And I think the other two witnesses there said the same thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm still not clear because there seems to be, maybe Mr. Sergovic has some information from. Do we have anything in writing or anything prior from the people that she purchased? Is the prior owner is not available or?
Since deceased, and all we could go on is the affidavit testimony, most of it sworn from various occupants over the years.
Is there a prior owner that could address this board?
No, the prior owner, Mr. Disaroon, I believe, is dead. We got an affidavit from his grandson going back to when it was converted from a car dealership to apartments, and we have various people that have been here tonight that we can locate that at one time or another either resided in it or had relatives living there. And again, the testimony apparently is that nobody's seen anybody living there, but again, all I can point the board to is the affidavit testimony and the live testimony here tonight. We had a current tenant who identified that he had a nephew living in one of the apartments 15 years ago. And 15 years ago in 1989, nobody living there is just totally inconsistent.
Looking through your notebook here, one picture of electric meters. Is there any... Do you have any record of any electric bills being paid during that period of time?
Again, what my client did was try to go to the post office to try to get prior addresses, and it's a meaningless letter. They said our records don't go back that far. And again, so we've somewhat scoured the bushes to find people who've known the property. And I think we have a fair representation that the property had been used mostly continuously, whether every apartment was occupied every year or not. I think there was evidence of occupancy that goes back to prior to the zoning code and sufficient evidence to indicate continuous use throughout the period of time.
Mr. Hudson makes a pretty good point. And did you, as far as utilities?
Again, the problem is that with utilities, it was either, there was either one meter box, okay, billed to the landlord who sub-billed the tenants, or multiple things, but unless you had a name that right. went with that meter, where are you going to trace it?
To the address?
Pardon?
To the address?
I guess.
I did not look at it. I didn't think of using that as a source.
I was going to say if there was electric usage on the property during that time period that the neighbor says there was no movement there, I would think that if there was no one living there, someone would have it disconnected. Why would they pay electric bills?
Right. I did not think to look into electric records, but I just didn't think of it.
Yeah. Sir, you have to come up to the podium.
Come up here, please.
On the internet can't hear you if you're not.
State your name for the record again, please.
Melvin Green.
Okay.
We have checked the mobile power and all of them. They said they didn't keep records that go back that far.
Said they don't.
Yes. They get demolished.
So they don't even go back to 2005?
No. I try to get old records and stuff like that from them. Postmaster and all of them, they could get nothing to wear.
Is it Delmarva Power or Delaware Electric Co-op?
Delaware Power. Delmarva Power. Delmarva. Yes.
And did you ask them for any records? Or?
Yes, we did.
And they said they couldn't provide them?
Yes, sir.
I have a question for Mr. Sertovic and one for Ms. Taylor. It looks like Ms. Taylor has her arm raised, Mr. Chairman.
Ma'am, yeah, put your inboxes again.
Was there ever a title affidavit? I'm sorry, title affidavit given when you purchased the property?
What is that?
An affidavit from the seller outlining whether there's any, typically with a zoning issue, or whether there's a tenant on the property or anything that could raise a title issue. Did you recall ever receiving something like that?
I received the filed from Mr. Burrell, and I don't even remember a real estate disclosure in that file. But it may have just been, you know, the file I got from Mr. Burrell would have been his settlement file, as opposed to the real estate contract. So I did get Mr. Burrell's file, but there was nothing in there to indicate anything to me of zoning. But I take that back.
I would think that he would he would bring that to your attention there, and it wouldn't have.
I was thinking from a title insurance perspective.
Right.
If you had title insurance, a lot of times the seller's affidavit is something that the seller will
normally say. What the seller's affidavit normally will say is basically there are no liens other than what's disclosed, and there's no labor for what a mechanic's lien could be. I mean, that's the typical owner's affidavit I get.
And sometimes we also see them where they have a there's no occupancies by a tenant or third party on the property in some cases, too. So I was just curious whether you had seen anything like that.
There was nothing in the file that shed any light on the issue.
How about leases? When you purchased the property, were there leases?
There are leases? No.
Ms. Taylor, do you have any leases other than oral leases?
Do I have leases from my people? Yes, I have leases for all of those.
Okay, but there were no leases. Certainly, when you bought the property, there would be. If they were being rented, they
didn't have leases.
Okay.
They didn't give me any leases for anybody.
Okay.
And all the people that lived in the apartments, I have checked, and the people that has worked in or lived in the apartments are all deceased.
I understand.
Did you buy this outright, or did you go through a mortgage? Did you progress the mortgage with this?
Ms. Taylor did was she mortgaged her primary residence.
With a bank?
With the bank. And
wouldn't the bank look and have some information on this?
No, not if.
No. Again,
my house was paid for.
I got you.
So you borrowed against your home?
Borrowed
against your home.
I mortgaged my house against it in order to pay for that.
Okay. All right, answers that question.
Ma'am, how long was the trailer there?
The trailer's there as long as I can remember. I'm 70 years old.
We try to avoid that.
Yes, please. But
It's been there as long as I can remember. I don't...
Okay. And it's been running the whole time?
Yes, as far as I know.
Susan, question to ask you. Somebody said a while ago, but by being that being rented out all the time, is that, does that say it's legal there for the other two houses? I mean, it's been in...
What they're here for.
Yeah. But the trailer has been, right?
Right.
So does that count for the other two? Or you got to do each one separate?
No, that's the whole multifamily determination of the use. It's all together for the mobile plus the
mobile plus those two. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the knowing the mobile is, but they're not sure for the other two.
Right.
So you still got to look at the other two then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perhaps tax records would show that it's been multifamily.
I don't know.
I don't know if they'd show use. That would be the one.
That's what you're trying to determine, use. And I don't think
see, there is a permit for the mobile home back in 1985, just so you know that.
That was replacement.
Okay, replacement. It doesn't say replacement. It just says
right.
It's been replaced once already. The mobile home.
It was replaced in 85, and there was a... And again, if you look at the minutes of the planning and zoning, Lawrence stated the mobile home was not an issue.
Mm, no. Yeah.
Okay. Is that your question? The mobile home can stay, whether...
No. I want to answer. I mean, there were questions, but we know this mobile home is continuous.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know if that meant that whole property would be fine then, that way, even though we're in...
The way I analyze the issue is this. It's a determination of non-conforming use. The allowed use for residential is one single family, okay? If we're over one single family, we've established a multifamily non-conforming use.
Yeah, all you need is two. It doesn't have to
That's
be
all
five.
I need is two. And at the time Ms. Taylor bought it, okay, she said the trailer was occupied. One of the units was occupied, and a black gentleman lived in another of the units. So as of the time she bought it in 2006, she had reasonable beliefs she was buying a non-conforming use property. And she then subsequently invested heavily in that property. And her investment, in turn, has given their current residents a place to live which they would not otherwise have. And again, it's a factual determination by the board as to whether we've established the existence of a non-conforming use. And there's really no legal about it. It's, the ordinance talks about a factual determination.
Thank you.
Ms. Taylor, I do have one question. We've heard some statements from Mr. Sergovic, and I wanted to, are those statements true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
To the best of my knowledge, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor.
Any further questions?
Yeah, for Mrs. Taylor.
Ms. Taylor.
Ms. Taylor, we got one more question for you, please.
Okay.
Oh, the other lady. Oh, I thought it was for her.
No,
you
no
the
other? That lady there, yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, ma'am.
I guess, ma'am, are you against it because it's not fixed up, or why you're against this?
Well, I was going to go into that, but I was told that, you know.
I mean, it's got to be a reason. I mean, yes. I'd like to know why.
When they first put this in, I can't tell you how many times the cops were called there. This is where my child grew up, where I own my home, and this is my property. It's always been a very tight, very good neighborhood to raise children in. Wasn't that way anymore. Keith and Janet, we all had children there. His girl and my girl are still best friends to this day. They wouldn't even go across the street without somebody with them. They were scared to do that. I mean, it's just been...
Since she's bought it and fixed it up, it's been that?
After she fixed it up. The very first tenant, I believe, he was a young boy, his name was Tim, came into our yard yelling for my husband to help him because somebody was going to stab him with a knife. And there was a group of guys over there. I mean, this has been a nightmare for us since day one.
That's all I want to know, why you were against that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good question.
That was a good one. Yes, sir.
You guys talked about a lease a while ago, right? Yes. I lived in there in 1977. They didn't qualify for no lease. This was the same landlord. And I did help Butch with the work there. And I don't know what she was talking about a while ago about the whole roof being off, but the whole roof was not off. We tore it off ourselves, and it was done in four months.
That's what I meant.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right.
Good. Can I take this last, ma'am? This be the last one. I'll take this one, baby, here.
Coming back to what she said about the people that are living there, the first year wasn't so bad. I lived there. Then we did have some tenants there that were a little bit rowdy. Miss Margaret moved every single one of them out of there. She put, again, 7 security cameras around the entire place. They can sit in their bed and watch us all night long. Have you seen the cops up there in a year?
No, I can honestly say I have not. But when this first happened...
Yeah, like I said, the first year was not... I've heard stories second and third, between the second to third year, it wasn't so great. Again, she moved everybody out, evicted everyone that she had problems with, and moved a whole group in, put security cameras up. And again, rules. If you do this, this, and this, and this, we sign a weekly lease. If you don't agree by those rules, you're gone.
Well, we're trying to determine the existence here.
I just wanted to state that it's not a ghetto place. It's
argue with her over that fact.
Okay.
It's been cleaned up very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Okay. Right, I'll take this last one, then. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know, I haven't read the laws on landlord-tenant. I'm not positive as to how everything works. But it seems to me that if you have two occupied units and an unoccupied unit, all on the same residential property, and then you split it down, what would be the limit on that as to how many families you can have living on top of one another? Because it seems to me that that's actually the question here. The trailer, we know, has been occupied.
The only question here is that has this property had two or more occupants, families, since before the ordinance was adopted? Without a period of 2 years being
and that
not having
the whole
two
property
or more.
Then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Not we're all five rented or whatever. But were there two or more continuously without a break of 2 years or more?
Prior to the ordinance.
Or whether it's a nice neighborhood or anything, that's not up to us.
Ma'am, the one thing, the application says whether there was a current use of five apartments and one residential trailer as a pre-existing use. Anything more than that, I think we have a problem.
Right.
So it can't be more than six.
Right. Can't be more than what's there now or supposedly has been there as far as a number of apartments.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they can add more.
Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 11,018 under advisement.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills, second by Mr. Hudson, that we take case number 11,018 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Calloway? Aye. So by a vote of, 5-0, case number 11,018 is taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You may stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9 o'clock. Okay, yes, indeed.
Short break.